Praise God. Since there's so few people here, I think I'll come up to about the third row here. Amen. Amen. You all know me pretty well. So one thing I'm sure you all know about me is that you can't talk to me very long without me mentioning bicycles. Anyone notice that? I talk a lot about my experience with bicycles and bicycling. I have to admit, I'm slacking off a little bit because I now own a car again. And as a result, I didn't ride my bike to work, to church today. And you know, there's been a couple times already where I would have ridden my bicycle, but I said, oh, it's raining, let me just drive the car. But I enjoy this, and you know I talked about all the benefits of bicycling and how it saves money, and I don't have to pay a gym membership, keeps me in shape. You might even say, some people might say, I boast about bicycling, and I imagine that's probably true. What are Christians to be boasting about? What are Christians to be boasting about? You know, there are some things we can boast about. Boasting, and I just did a word study on this today. The Greek word is translated boasting in the passage that I'm talking about. The English word boasting just covers it almost exactly. Boasting meaning this is something we talk about, we brag about, and it has a sort of a negative connotation to it. You talk a whole lot about it, and other people go, oh, you know, you're talking a little bit too much here about this. That's exact same connotation this Greek word had. I heard a question that somebody asked one time who's had some experience in the church, and he's saying, why do Christians always have to feel like they have to talk about sin? I mean, why? Shouldn't we be talking about positive things instead? And there are some preachers who have big ministries that take exactly that path. They don't want to talk about all the negative things. They want to talk about the positive things about Christianity, about what we believe, about God. Why can't we talk about God's love without mentioning sin? Shouldn't that be possible? Isn't that right? Shouldn't we be able to talk about God's love without mentioning sin? Isn't those positive things, isn't that what we should be eager to tell people about? And not the ugly sin part, right? Well, I did some thinking about this, and I'm wondering if we're not talking about sin, and we're talking about how God loves us and He loves other people, what is the basis for God's love? What is it we should be telling people? What can we be bragging to people about our God and His love for them? What is the basis for boasting about God's love? if it's not the fact that we have sinned. Maybe God loves us because of our innate goodness. Maybe God loves me, he loves you, he loves all of us because deep down inside we're all good. Maybe that's what I see one person shaking their head. maybe that's what God loves us, because we are just basically good. And deep down inside, we just have to get to the goodness that's in there. Well, if you let's see what Jesus had to say about this. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11, verse 13, and I will give you time to look for this. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. And, you know, Jesus kind of said something offhand. It wasn't the main point of the discussion he was having at the time. He just kind of mentioned it offhand as if, well, this is obviously true. But I think to our ears today, it might sound very strange. What did Jesus say? Luke chapter 11, verse 13. He said, he's talking about how, we shouldn't be afraid to pray to God and ask him for things, because, we should be feel free to ask for him. And he said, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So his point was talking about how we shouldn't be afraid to ask God for good things, and that God will give us good things. But he just kind of mentioned one little thing in passing. Did you notice it? Did you notice that? He said that if you then, being evil, and you know how to give good gifts to your kids, well, how much more is that? The assumption here that Jesus was kind of operating on is that we are innately good. Is that what he said? No, we're evil. That's kind of jarring to our ears nowadays, because we want to think that God loves us because deep down inside we're good. He sees something positive in us, and that's why he loves us. Well, that's not what Jesus said. We're evil. Maybe God loves us just because we're lovable. We're just lovable kind of beings. You know, how can you look at my face and not love me? Does God love us just because we're so lovable? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 gives us a little picture of what our nature is like. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. It says, all of us also lived among them, meaning the Gentiles, the non-believers, the people who are really messing up. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature lovable people. Is that what it says? We are by nature children of wrath. In other words, by nature, we're the kind of people who really deserve wrath. God looks at us and sees us, what we really are like, what we deserve is his wrath. Does that sound like Jesus is saying, maybe we should boast about God's love for us because we're just so lovable? Is that the basis of God's love? Maybe God loves us because even though we're not perfect, we have such good intentions. Is that why God loves us? Because we're doing our best to do what's right? Well, I will tell you from my experience, sometimes I have good intentions, and sometimes I just don't have good intentions. And we all know that there's a saying that says, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. We may want, desire, and try to do what's good, and that does not mean everything's okay. So if that's what we are saying, we should boast about. God loves us because we're just kind of good people, or because we're lovable, or because we have good intentions. And that's why God loves other people as well, because they're basically good, and because they really are lovable. Well, that doesn't set with what the Bible says about us. That is not the reason, that's not the basis for God's love for us. When we tell the world, when we boast about how much God loves us, we can't use that as the basis and say that we are saying the same thing the Scripture does. Well, what else can we boast about? If we're not boasting about how God loves us, how about boasting about how the Christian life is so much better than any other way of life? I've heard people saying maybe that's what we should be talking up. That's what we should be telling people about. That our way of life is just so much better than everybody else. Well, maybe we want to say, we may not be perfect, but man, compared to everybody else, we're doing pretty well. And that's why you should come to the Greater Love in Christ Church. Is that what we should be the basis of our boasting, what we should be eager to tell people about? Well, you know, I remember a few years ago when the Greater Love in Christ Church was invited to, I forget the Hebrew name for it, but it's basically in the English Bible called the Feast of Tabernacles. Sukkot, that's it, yes. Feast of Tabernacles. And
I think that's going on right now.
I think you're right. This is the time of year.
It's saw like a building on Bay Street.
Yep, and part of the tradition of the Feast of Tabernacles is you're supposed to sort of technically live in tabernacles. And tabernacle means a temporary shelter that's not all that great. In fact, you're supposed to have sort of holes in the roof to kind of remember the time when God was calling or brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and they had to live in temporary shelters. And that's what it's kind of commemorating. And part of the tradition is they invite people who aren't Jews to celebrate this with them. And that year, they invited the Greater Love in Christ Church. I remember talking to one of the ladies in the congregation, and her complaint was, Christians, they kind of want to say that the Christian way of life is so much better than any other way of life, and Christians are better people than other people. And she said, if that's true, then how come we live in a Christian nation here? How come there's all these robberies and crime going on all over the place? Is that what Christianity is? I mean, this is a Christian nation. And I think she had a good point. If our reason for boasting is because we want to tell the world how much better our way of life is than other ways of life, we're going to have some difficulty. I can't think of a single church where somebody dear in that church had some serious issues with sin, with drug addiction, with suicide, with spouse abuse, with, you know, there's some serious things that happen even within the body of Christ. And I think if we want to boast about how much better our way of life is, somebody's going to point that out to us. And they probably have pointed that out to you, too. Maybe we should be boasting about other people's sins, right? Maybe what we should be eager to talk about to people is, oh, look at that person over there. Because they are sinning, that's what's making my life so uncomfortable. My boss keeps asking me to do more than I'm able to do, and he's being unfair, and oh, that's the real problem. If he were a Christian, if he really loved God like he's supposed to, my life would be so much better. That's the real cause of my pain and discomfort. So we want to boast about other people's sins. Is that really what God is calling us to do? I can think of several scriptures that talk about us confessing our sins. I can't think of any scripture that says that we should be confessing other people's sins. Maybe what we should be boasting about, by boasting, I mean being eager to tell people about. And whenever they talk to us, they know this is going to come up. Maybe we should be boasting about how tough our circumstances are. And that's really the reason why I may mess up every once in a while, is because you don't understand. Man, I have it rough. You know, I know I come across as mean every once in a while, but don't you know? These people are doing this to me. They're doing that to me. And I have this going on. I have this stressor. I have that stressor. I have all these horrible life circumstances. And that's really what I want to talk about, is how terrible my circumstances are. And maybe you look at me and you say, well, if your God is so great, how come the great loving Christ church here today isn't packed? All these rows aren't packed with people. Why isn't that the case? Well, what I want to talk about is, well, you know, we're in a rough situation here. Our founding pastor died. Then we had another pastor for a while, and that didn't work out. And we had another pastor. The circumstances here are so rough. That's why we're not as successful. I want to boast about the terrible circumstances. Is that the basis of what we should be boasting about? Well, I want us to think about some things. Are things really, truly rougher for us now than they have ever been? I grew up in the 60s. And I remember going to church and almost always was hearing from these preachers and from other people in the church, these kids today, they don't know about how to obey their parents, they're rebellious, and they're doing all the, and life today is so rough. We have to live in fear of the bomb dropping. Russia's going to attack us. Oh, it's so terrible. And there are people today who say, circumstances today are rougher. They're worse than they've ever been. One of my favorite quotes was from, and I don't know it exactly, but it was a quote from Plato, I think. And it was a quote about, and usually when I, the first time I heard it, it didn't say who was quoting it, but he was saying, these kids today, they don't know how to respect authority, they don't value the important things in life. And then they said, who is this a quote from? Is someone today? No, it's someone from thousands of years ago. Every point in our human history, it is easy to point around and say, things today are rougher than they've ever been. But is it really true? I choose to believe that there are fewer people today being lynched because of their race. That used to be a regular, normal occurrence. There was newspaper articles about a Sunday afternoon lynching where most of the town would come out with their kids as a celebration as they lynched someone. I choose to believe that maybe they had it in that way rougher than we do today. Are kids today less obedient than they've ever been? I don't believe so. Yes, kids are disobedient. And guess what? Kids in my generation were disobedient too. Kids in every generation are disobedient, maybe in slightly different ways. My generation, no kids were wearing their pants down, kind of hanging off their butt. We thought that would be the craziest thing in the world. We had pants way up here. In fact, you wanted to get them nice and tight and up. We rebelled in different ways. We disobeyed in different ways. Is more allowed in our culture now than has ever been allowed before? I would say in some ways, yes, and in some ways, no. There are some things now that are not looked on very lightly that used to be just taken for granted. And there are some things now that aren't taken very seriously that used to be taken very seriously. Just different. I don't think it's reasonable for us to be boasting about how tough our circumstances are. That should be what we're known for talking about. That this is what we should be telling people about anytime our mouth opens. If that's what's coming out of our mouth, I don't think that's the same thing that God is calling us to boast about. I would want to suggest something. How about boasting about something very different? Very different. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verse 9 and a few verses on from that. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" Now listen to this. "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about what? My rough circumstances? I will boast all the more gladly about how lovable I am, how God loves me so much because he knows what a wonderful, faithful servant I am of his. I will boast all the more gladly about how other people are so much worse than I am. No, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses." Why on earth would we do that? Why would we boast about our weaknesses? Here's the reason. So that Christ's power may rest on me. Our weaknesses are the only room God has that we give him for his power to show. Let me repeat that. Where we are weak is the only room we're going to give God for Christ's power to show itself. Where we're strong, it's going to be our strength. God doesn't have any room there. Where we are weak, that's where God has the opportunity to show his strength. Verse 10, "That is why for Christ's sake I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties." You know, that sounds very similar to what I was saying earlier about how we want to boast about how tough our circumstances are. Usually when we do that, we're going, "Oh, this is a terrible thing. It's such a rotten, horrible thing that I have to put up with this. Life is so tough." But this is saying we delight in our weaknesses, in hardships, in persecutions and difficulties. Why? Why would we delight in those things? Well, it says, "For when I am weak, then I am strong, and strong because of Christ's power resting in me." In hardships, in insults, in persecutions, in difficulties, I don't know about you, but that's when I'm most prone to sin. When things are really going rough, when it seems like people are mistreating me, when times are stressful, when I'm feeling really worn, it's so easy for me to say, "Let me just do what I know is going to make me feel good. Even though I know God doesn't want me to do it." Hey, you know, I'm amazed when I'm doing drug and alcohol assessments with the people I work with. And they're talking about how sometimes they've had periods of times when they're completely clean, free from drugs and alcohol, and then they lost their sobriety. Very often, a person will tell me, Well, I was doing good in my recovery, and then my girlfriend cheated on me, my mom died, and I almost want to ask, well, what does that have to do with you staying clean and sober? Well, it's just automatic. The assumption is these things happen, therefore I drink, therefore I use. That's how our brain works. In weaknesses, in hardships, in difficulties, we just turn to the sins that have made us feel good. That's when we're weak. It's a very different thing to boast about our weaknesses, to delight in our weaknesses. Do you see how radical that is? How different it is? Because that's the time when God's strength or Christ's power can be manifested in our lives if we let Him do that. Instead of complaining about the insults we suffer, instead of complaining about our hardships, our persecutions, our difficulties, I would like to invite us to try delighting in them. Now, I'm not saying we should be masochists and seek. You know, I'm not saying, nobody's insulted me this week. Let me see if I can do something so that somebody will insult me. You know, there are people, I think, that almost operate that way. They don't feel quite... like they're really doing God's will unless they do something so obnoxious that people insult them for it. I am not saying that's what we should be doing. We shouldn't be, I'm not advocating that we seek hardships, persecutions, difficulties. I'm not saying we should seek to be insulted by people. What I'm saying is, when they do happen, why don't we try delighting in them? Why? Because this is an opportunity for God's power, for Christ's power to show itself, for Christ to show Himself in me today. You know, when Christ's power lives in us, and people know our weaknesses, they know where we fail, they know our history, they know how we have reacted in the past, and here the same circumstances are happening again, but now we're not reacting to them in that same way. That's when God can get the glory. They ask you, what is going on with you? How come you're not doing what you used to do? Then we can boast about Christ's power. We can say, I'm still just as weak as I ever was. The difference is that today, Christ's power is handling this. Today, Christ is taking control of my life. Today, Christ is giving me what I need. And that is why the behavior you see is different. That is why you can look at me and see not me, but you can see God in me. You can see Christ crucified in me. That is the chance for Christ's power to show itself. I'm not going to read the whole passage, but the whole chapter right before 2 Corinthians 12 here gives context of what Paul is talking about. And part of what he was saying is, you know, beware of the false prophets. Because the false prophets will tell you how hard they're working for God and how strong they are in the Lord and how weak Paul is. And Paul says, you know, if I want to compare notes, I can come off looking just as strong as they do. But that's not the important part. The important part is where I'm weak. That's what Paul says. And in fact, he ends chapter 11 by saying, pointing out how he was a coward in Antioch, right after he became a Christian. Instead of standing his ground and proclaiming Christ to those who are probably going to hurt him, instead he hid in a basket and had someone sneak him out of town quickly so he wouldn't get hurt. He boasted about his weaknesses. He thought that's what the important piece was. You know, this is what's really radically different about living by grace rather than living by law. People who rely on the law, which is good, by the way, the law is good. It is given by God. It is an outline of what God expects. This is a standard that God really wants us to live up to. But if we are living by that to be acceptable to Him, then what's going to be important is how strong we are. What's going to be important is how well we behave. What's going to be important is how we can do God's will by our strength. What's radically different when we live by grace, the important piece is where we're weak. Why? Because that's where God, Christ's power can be manifested in us. Very, very different. So, why do Christians always have to talk about sin? Because you know something? That's where Christ's power can show itself in us. That's my current sins right now. As I'm standing before you here this morning, where I am still not living up to God's standards, that's the room that God has to show His strength. That's, if I choose to let Him, that's where I can let Christ's power rest on me. That's where I can invite Him in and say, God, do your thing. That's where I can let great things happen. If I choose. I don't know if there's anybody who is tired of feeling like they have to be strong. You know, we've had a lot of shootings in public places that have made the news, and almost every time when those things happen, I hear someone saying, we have to be strong. It's times like this where we have to be strong. I want to invite us instead, let's be weak. Let's be weak. Let's let Christ's power rest on me. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you let your power be available to us whenever we choose to rely and to invite you in, Lord. You are there. Thank you, Lord, that you delight in us because we are sinners. We thank you, Lord, that it's those who are weak, those who are not righteous, that you came to save. Father, I pray that even more this coming week, we would choose to delight in our weaknesses, in our hardships, in our persecutions, in our sins, Lord. I pray, Father, that we would instead delight in them, because those are the opportunities for your grace to show itself and to ingrain itself into our lives even deeper. Father, I pray that this coming week, what people see in us will not be our own righteousness, our own strength, but instead, Lord, we'll see the power of God working miracles in a sinner who is still saved by grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a good week, everyone. See you next week.